Today's message is entitled, The Old Man Who Kept Doing Great Things for God. Last week was the young boy who did a great thing for God, and that message was about David's victory for God over Goliath. And we know that David did not just do one thing in his lifetime. But we learned last week, this young man, this boy, was chosen by God. He used what he had in his hand to serve the Lord. I just love that. When you think about, he was familiar with that sling and those stones and defeated the giant. I think in our lives, when some new issue comes upon us, some new thing of faith that stretches us, or some project like a building, we say, oh, we've got to do like everybody else and put on the king's armor. And maybe we don't. Maybe we use what's in our hands. And David had no doubt and no fear about what he was doing. And when he did it for God. I think that's amazing. Who kills giants for a living? See, that's what David did. He went out and said, this is for God. I know I can do it because I've killed a lion and a bear before. And I think that when we look at ministry, you know, the word doesn't say go kill the giants. But there are times very unique things come our way. And we must say, is this for me or is this for God? Is this for men's honor or for God's glory? And he did it for God, and he never forgot the battle was the Lord's. Remember these words of David? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And he says, surely this day they will know that there is a God in Israel. And David went on to say, then all the assembly shall know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David said, I can do it. The battle is the Lord's. And I believe when we step out in faith for him, it's the same message. We can do it. This is the Lord's battle. For sure, David was strong and courageous. You want to do a good study sometime. If you have a computer program for your concordance, just put in the word strong and courageous. And in the book of Joshua, you'll find that tens of times that phrase is used. In fact, next spring I might preach a whole series about the life of Joshua, or the book of Joshua, and showing how strong and courageous is a resounding theme. But David was strong and courageous. And today you'll find out that this old man that I want to speak about today, who kept doing things, great things for God, was also strong and courageous. So who was this old man? This old man was Caleb. And I say he was an old man. He wasn't an old man all of his life, of course. But we're going to look in on him here just in a moment. And we'll find he was 85 years old. When he says what he says, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 12 to begin with. Joshua 14, beginning in the 10th verse. The words of Caleb, an 85-year-old man. Oh, before we do that, anybody who's 85 or older, would you please stand if you're 85 or older? Anybody here 85? Or older. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Barbary back there. Okay, Bill, how old are you? 88 years old. Okay, and Miss Barbary, I won't ask you in front of everybody, okay? But can you imagine Bill Barbary standing up and addressing the congregation and saying this? Caleb said, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. So we see when he went out in the name of the Lord the first time, he was 40 years old. Now just jump up into your text, Joshua 14, starting in the 6th verse. Here's where Caleb began. The scripture says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God.' So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" And then Caleb goes on with what we read at first. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he kept me alive." And he went on to say, "I'm 85, and bring it on. Give me more." And I think that being I'm 54, about halfway between that 40 and that 85, I want to be able to say that when I'm 85. I'm just as strong. I'm just as ready to go. So let's go. So I want you to go with me back to that account in the Bible. We're going to back up 45 years to when Caleb is 40 years old and gets sent out as a spy for Israel into the Promised Land. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. As I told you last week, these two messages are narratives, where we're going to let the text drive the message, and they are character studies of these men. Numbers chapter 13. Here's an account of what Caleb was speaking of. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them.' So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachor; from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; from the tribe of Judah, Caleb," there he is, "the son of Jephunneh. And if you'll skip down there to verse 8, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun." That's the same name as Joshua. And if you'll get down a little further, you'll see that Moses called Hoshea Joshua. And by the way, that name means he saves. And that is the name of anybody here named Joshua. And it is the same name as Yeshua, Jesus. Okay, he saves. So if you go through there, you're going to find out that first of all, Caleb was a man of faith. You might want to write that down. If you want to be like Caleb, he was a man of faith, and he went to spy out the land. He spied out the land for God, along with 11 other men. I'll give you all their names: Shammua, Shaphat, Caleb, Egal, Joshua, Paltai, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, Gul. So those were the 12 spies that Israel sent from the wilderness into the Promised Land. Say, go check that out and see what's going to happen. Let's pick up in verse 17. "Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. See what the land is like. Spies, you go in there.'" Joshua, Caleb, the most famous of the spies, "you go in there and see whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak people. See if there are few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. What's the soil like? What's the terrain like? Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Go check it out. Are they already have walled cities? Are they protected? Or are they just sort of wandering from place to place? Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and they spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai were the descendants of Anak. Okay, and we're going to talk about them a little bit later. They were there. Now, Hebron, or Hebron, was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol because the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. That's the name they gave it, meaning cluster. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. And we know the account would tell us in the scripture that they had to carry that cluster, two men between a pole. Now, I don't want you to see grapes as big as basketballs. I want you to see probably larger than normal grapes, but a cluster, you know, nearly as big as a person. That's how well things grew there. And they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, verse 26, and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now remember, these Israelites had been in bondage in Egypt. It was all that generation knew. They'd been in bondage for 430 years. God called them out through the plagues. They had spent time at Sinai. This is early on, sometime around the second year of their journey. And God says to Moses, you send those people up to check it out. These were people who were out there depending upon God's manna in the morning. People who had not had a permanent dwelling. This was the land that flowed with milk and honey. This was the promised land. And bringing back those examples of how things grew must have been very exciting. Verse 27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the hill of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, now listen, he said, let's go up at once and take this land. How old was he? 40. Here he's 40 years old. He says, we can do it. Any men here? Exactly 40. If you are, stand up if you're exactly 40. Okay, 39 or 41? 38 or 42? Okay, here's a couple guys like Caleb. So Terry and Bill, 38? 38? So neither one of them are 42. Okay. So a guy like them stands up and says, we can do it. Let's go immediately and do it. And he said, let's go up at once, take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How many people were on this committee? A dozen people on the committee. The natural leader stands up and says, we can do it. And we know he has a fellow that will agree with him. That's Joshua. But 10 out of 12 say, ain't going to work. And we're not going to follow. But the men said, they're stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. I'm sure there were some brambles and thorns and rough places. And there were a few descendants of Anak, who were Anakim. They were giants. We'll get to that. But not every man was a giant. There was lots of lush soil and great farmland. And so the two men were right, not wrong. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So all of the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. Now, why were they crying? They were out in that wilderness, going on there in the part of their second year, the best we can determine. Left their homes, their familiarity behind, the everyday routine. Stepped out, headed toward the promised land. God had made a promise. And they believed the report of the 10 spies who gave an evil report. And they said, what are we going to do? You made us a promise. Here's what they did. All the children of Israel, what's it say? Complained. Anytime we're about to step out in faith, there'll be a few who say, we can do it. And there'll be a lot who murmur amongst themselves. We're getting ready for a six-week preaching campaign concerning a big project. Has it started yet? Have you already said, we can't do that? It ain't going to happen? You haven't told me, but you probably won't. But you might tell each other. And so they said, complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, we'd be better off dead, they said. Why has the Lord brought us to this land, fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Wouldn't have been better for us to return to Egypt? You see, there they had three hots and a cot every day. They had to make bricks, and bricks without straw, but they knew the routine. And they could fulfill the routine with their eyes closed. And they wanted out of the routine badly. And God got them out of the routine, living by faith in a new land, trusting Him how often for food? Every day. And did God miss any days? He was faithful every day. And they come to this point and they say, we should go back, because we could predict tomorrow there. And verse 4, so they said to one another, let's select a new leader and return to Egypt. Let's vote on God's will. And let's pick somebody who will take us back. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. That means they went before them in humility and prayer and grief and everything that comes with that moment. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. That's a sign of repentance. Oh, grief. Can't believe it. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Who was God's spokesman here? Moses. And who was God's spokesman's assistant? Aaron. They're on their faces before the Lord. Two men out of the congregation stand up and say, now listen. The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Hear how most of the people saw it? Most of the people said, it can't happen, let's go back. And two said, they're lunch for us. They're bread. Let's make a sandwich out of those people, is what they were saying. If God is for us, who can be against us? They knew it. Right theology. And he said, they said, they are our bread, their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, okay, and lived happily ever after. Read the next verse. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Don't like the message? Shoot the messenger. Right? Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, now listen to this. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? Haven't I proven myself to them? Didn't I deliver them with the plagues? Didn't I meet with Moses, you, on Sinai? And a second time I met with you? Haven't I provided for you, sustained you, strengthened you? How do you think you got where you got? And now what am I supposed to do? How long will they not believe me? With all the signs I performed among them, I'll strike them with pestilence and disinherit them and then make a nation greater and mightier than they. Get into that text. Moses brings God to repentance. Reasons with him and says, it's for your name. We don't want the nations to mock you. And God relents. Verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses. It wasn't without penalty. Said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard their complaints that the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Here's what God told most of those people. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell. But your little ones, whom you said should be victims, I'll bring them in, and they shall know the land which you've despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness according to the number of your days. Verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. So let's talk a little bit about this man of faith and then his godly example. He went in, he spied out the land. I gave you the names of those spies. Out of 12, only two saw with eyes of faith. Understand what they were doing. They were scoping out new territory for God. They were going someplace they had not been before. I can't help but applying this to what's happening at North Street now. We've drawn plans before, but we've never raised funds before. It's a new land. And we've spied out the land, and the leaders are saying, we can do this. If it's God's will, we've scoped out this new territory. We've spied it out. We are scouts. And we believe it can be done. Now remember, David and Caleb said, I can do this. I can do this with God's provision according to God's plan. And I want to say, I believe we can do this according to God's provision and God's plan. It's not to make a name for ourselves. It's to make a name for Him, to fulfill His will. Now, I want you to remember this. God had them at Sinai. We're about 450 days into the journey, and they get sent out. How long were they gone? 40 days. So about day 490, how long did they wander? 40 years. Year 2, why did they wander? Because they complained. And God said, I'm not going to just strike you dead right now, but I'm going to let most of you die of this generation. Now it said those men who were 20, they took a census once they got across the Red Sea. There were 603,550 men 20 years old and older who were able to fight. So there are about 2 million people who left Egypt. And the adults all died out within that 40 years, except two. Now that's a little scary for me because I'm not young anymore. But sometimes there are blessed subtractions. Sometimes you can get on with things once that generation, you see, God deals with that generation, whether it's age, leadership, whatever it might be. Now, I'm not condemning senior citizens. I'm almost one. Very soon I'll be one. But I'm simply saying, look how God works. If we don't want to do His will, He has all the time in the world. I want you to understand that this was the next step in God's plan. If you read your scripture, which we did this morning, it says, "And the Lord said," just like the Lord said, "Come camp out at Sinai," and "Moses, come up here, I have something I want to tell you." It was God who said, "Now's the time to spy out the land." And so they were just doing His will. It wasn't this new idea that Moses had, or Joshua and Caleb said, "Hey, give us 10 more guys, let us go in there and spy out the land." It was God's plan. It made sense to do it in His time. I want you to see this, that Caleb was a "yes, we can" man, not a "no, we can't" man. From age 40 to age 85, he said, "We can do it." In fact, in 14:9 there, he said it would be rebellion not to proceed. It would be against God's will to not step out in faith, because he realized it was all couched in God's provision for God's plan. His mission was about God. Our mission is about God. Next week I'll be speaking about God's plan for His church. And we'll see very evidently that we have marching orders. And we're fulfilling them to some extent, but we can do a better job, and we need to improve our facility to do a better job in downtown Butler in 2008. There's just no doubt about it. So we've seen that Caleb was a man of faith. Secondly, I want you to see that he was a godly example for all who surrounded him. Caleb rubbed off, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a negative way. We know that. After his sermon, some people said, "Stone him." That younger generation, they followed him. They followed him into the promised land those 40 years later. But I want you to see, when that man stood alone, there was a point where he grieved. He was grieved by the lack of faith of his own countrymen. If you want to be a Caleb, sometimes people are not going to readily follow. They might go the other way before you even get started. You're going to see that Caleb was honored by God because he was unique in spirit. Isn't that neat? That God said, "Every one of you is going to die except that one and that one." And it's because they're different in spirit than everybody else. And we already said 600, 3,550 fighting men left. Upwards of 2 million people. Lots of people died in the wilderness because of their stubbornness and their complaining. Go to the New Testament with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. Paul knew his Hebrew history. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of all our fathers, that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ." Paul's just saying, don't forget the Exodus. Don't forget the wilderness wanderings. And he says, you know how God provided during that time for our forefathers. He said they were all baptized into Moses. He didn't mean they were immersed in water. He meant they were surrounded by, they were immersed in all that God provided at that time. Okay, they were in that thing whole body. And God provided spiritual food and spiritual drink, manna and water from the rock. And we know the rock was Christ. Verse 5. "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Plink, plink, plink. They died here and there because God said, "I'm not going to kill you all at once, but I'm going to let you die." And, you know, none of us None of us is irreplaceable. Going to be like the 10 instead of like the 2. Going to be like the most instead of the few. Plink, plink. You see, I think we can see that. Now, verse 6. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. When did they do that? Moses on Mount Sinai. You know what they decided to do? Let's make our own God. By the time Moses came down off of Mount Sinai in 40 days, they were having an orgy, believe it or not. You think the church has ever gotten her eyes off of God, her head, and starts to play games instead? You see, because he hasn't sent Moses back yet. And then he said, don't let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and trace the Exodus. He says, on one day, 23,000 people were killed because of their sexual immorality. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and were destroyed by serpents, the Nehushtan, Numbers 23. Nor, look at this one. Okay, probably most of us aren't involved in idolatry and sexual immorality and tempting Christ. He says, and don't let us, verse 10, what? Complain. As some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. For no temptation, even the temptation to complain, the temptation to quit, the temptation to replace the leaders, the temptation to stone the leaders, the temptations to say, we can't. He said, there's no temptation that's come upon you except what is common to man. And with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape. And Moses, or Paul, was saying, all of those people could have trusted God. But they didn't. Only two of that generation trusted God. And so Caleb, a man that I'd like to be like, wouldn't you? He was a man who had a great faith. He was a man who set a godly example. Now let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. And 15. What time is it? 20 after. Okay, I'll tell you the story. We've already read part of it. There in Joshua 14, that's where Caleb stands up and says, hey, I want to tell you young people. Remember, because his peers were what? They were dead. He says, I want to tell you young people how faithful God is. And I want to tell you, I'm 85 years old today and I'm just as strong as I was back then. I'm ready to go for God. They were settling the land. And he says, I can do it again. I'm not afraid. Scripture goes on to say that because he was ready and able, he was given the area of Hebron. That was the home of the sons of Anak, the Anakim. They were giants. The giants the spies saw when they went to spy out the land, that some of them came back and said, the whole country's like that. We can't do it. We look like grasshoppers to them. Pretty big fellows, but exaggerated speech. These giants may have been the predecessors of Goliath. In some way, they probably were intertwined in there. So we're looking at 10-foot guys, not 30-foot guys. Plenty big, though. And Caleb said, I can still do it. Look there in Joshua. I'll have to get back to it. I have a verse I want you to look at. In Joshua chapter 15, verse 14. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiban, and Talmai. We read in Numbers, there they were, and their generation and their family, They dwelt in the land. 85-year-old man now goes in and drives them out, the children of Anak. So I want you to see that Caleb was not a quitter. Caleb was around for a long time. And you know, I think over my nearly 30 years of ministry, I've seen, you know, people who used to get out there and do it who have sort of settled down for a while. I'm saying, hey, it's time for you to stand up again. We need some Calebs. And we need some Davids. Some young men and women will get out there and say, this is worth it. This is what God wants us to do. But we don't need the older folks feeling like, ah, that's not our church anymore. Or, you know, we're just dying in the wilderness. No, we need you to be a Caleb with me. And say, we can do this. It'll work. I'm not afraid of giants. Isn't that amazing? Caleb and David both dealt with giants in their lives. So let's go here in Joshua 15, pick up in verse 15, and we'll find our last character trait. It says, then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir, formerly the name of Debir was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I'll give Achsah, my daughter, as a wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it and gave him, and he gave him Achsah, his daughter, as his wife. And now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish, my daughter? What do you wish, hero's wife? And she said, give me a blessing, since you've given me the land in the south. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Don't want to read too much in here, but we would find that Caleb was a generous giver. And his daughter said, Dad, bless me. You've given me some land. Could I get some water? I think we can see he gave her more than she asked for, the upper and the lower springs. And so those are the things I want you to see about this old man who kept doing great things for God. I want you to think about those 40 years when his generation was dying off. Pow, pow, pow. Lots of us know what that's like, don't we? When the people we went to high school with are now dying. Some of us of you have lost mates. It's not the generation above us necessarily. It's our generation. Can you imagine Caleb? Out of those 2 million people, how many were of his generation? Let's say, you know, what would a sixth of them be? 120,000 people, something like that. But can you imagine all those people of his generation? Well, I guess we've got to say 603,550 of his generation, huh? 20 years and older. Okay, well, anyhow, lots of them. And he sat through all those funerals. And he started to think, am I next? Knowing he wasn't next. And of all those people, Joshua and Caleb entered in. And to say he was a faithful example no matter what everybody else did. Can you be like that? See, can you still be strong and lead and be contagious and positive? And then bless. So we see Caleb was a man of faith, a godly example to others, an able warrior, a generous giver. And I can say there's no doubt about it, I want to be like that. I've set my eyes on being 100, dropping dead in a sermon. You know that. I don't know if I'll make it. But you know, I might make it to 85. But I want to be like Caleb. I'm not turning into a sourpuss, a complainer. It's not going to happen. So I want to be like him. How about you? Realize he was just a man. Just like you and me. It was after the flood, when people didn't live so long in a day, just like ours, 70 years and 10 is the normal. He made it to 85 and beyond, but with great zeal, great power. So we must also get our eyes on God. Not on others, not on self, not on wealth, not on how big the pile was 2 weeks ago and how little it is today, you know, from what you have to give from. Forget that. Our God is bigger, greater, beyond the economy. So it's not on self, it's not on wealth, it's not on the times, it's not on the past, it's not on the future. But our eyes need to be on God, just like David's eyes were on God. He never looked back when he went out there with that sling. And just like Caleb, for 40 years, set an example, trusted God, had a unique spirit in him. I can do this for God, is what David said and what Caleb said. I can do it. Because it is His plan, and He will make provision for His plan through His people. That's how it worked. So remember these words of Caleb from Numbers 14. If the Lord delights in us, then He'll bring us into this land, and He'll give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they're our bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And that's about all I have to say. Is whether it's into this building program or whether it's out the door for Monday morning. You need to keep your eyes on God, and I need to keep my eyes on God with no fear.